I want you to look at this. It says, what will he do? And it's an obvious question to the Jewish community. Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? What a wonderful way to understand Jesus. That he would leave all, listen to me. You can't be mad when Jesus leaves all of us and goes after somebody that doesn't know him. Come on, somebody. We want, listen to me. Our prayers need to change. We want God to move in here. What we should be praying, God, move around the world. God, I know you're going to move in here if we pray for you to move around the world. Go get them, God. Bring them in. But it matters. That one person matters. You've got a relative, a family member, uncle Bobo, sister so-and-so. Who are they? That co-worker that just always eats the food in the refrigerator. They need to be saved. Can I get an amen? Amen? Amen. Make me want to drink my own drink. No. They need to be reached by Jesus, and we need to pray this. And he says, won't he leave the other 99 if in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? He is relentless. I need you to understand the character of God, the character of Jesus, and to understand his way. He is relentless. He won't come home till he finds you. How many of you were out in the wilderness and he didn't come home until he found you? Hallelujah. I don't know what church you got saved in, what city, what state, what country, what denomination. I don't care if you got saved in a restaurant, behind an alleyway. I don't care. But you know what? He didn't come home to the Father until he found you. My goodness. And if he would do it, shouldn't we? I love what it says. And the next verse, verse 5, watch this. And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. May I suggest to you that when Jesus saves you and when he took your life into his hands, you weren't the one walking to the next destination. He carried you on his shoulders and walked you to the place that he walked. The Bible says that he is able to save to the uttermost those that has called to him. Amen. You know, there's an old poem that used to come out talk about footprints. How many remember that? Footprints in the sand. And when he said, God, I was walking with you and I saw your footsteps and mine, and we were walking together, but when things got hard, I noticed there was only one set of footprints there. God, why did you leave me? And God responded to them, that's not when I left you. That's when I carried you. I'm okay with seeing one set of footprints in my life. It is all about our takeaway for today. Look at verse 6. It's very important. And when he arrives, he will call together all of his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. Church, if we're going to understand the way of Jesus, we need to rejoice when one person gets saved or one person comes to know Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. So let me just do a test. Let me just kind of go through an example of how that's going to look. When I say this person's got saved, let me see how you react. Okay, here we go. That person got saved. Whoa. The first three rows jumped up for Jesus. The rest of you were looking like, look at those first three rows. Listen. When a person gets saved, like the day you came to him, the Bible says the angels rejoiced. Heaven was shook over your life coming to him. Now, if angels do that for you, how much more should we do that for one of our brethren? Okay, this is chance number two. If you've got strength in your body, you got power in your limbs, you need to go buck wild crazy when someone gets saved. Okay, shh. They just gave their life to Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Yes! Come on, somebody. Yeah, there you go. Come on, somebody. Woo! I love the girl in the back. She's like, whoa! You can start a wave for Jesus if you want. The one matters. There you go. Matter of fact, let's do it. Let's start a wave over here. Go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay, watch this. Here, they just got saved. Go. Woo! Now, I could never do that in church. That's awesome. I couldn't do that in my church when I was coming up. Okay. You're having too much fun in church. This is ridiculous. Here's the reality, guys. The truth of the matter is this. As we said in our takeaway, the one is worth it. And we need to let go of all of our pride and everything else when one person comes to know Jesus. Billy Graham got saved in a revival. And he was a nobody. He was the only guy in that entire revival that came to Christ. But when he did. Come on. That's what they say about you in heaven. I remember how they were when they were a sinner, but when they got saved, and it matters. I want to bring up, we had one of the biggest things we do is we reach into the world and we go after people that are lost. And we have today, I want to share with you some of the stories that occurred in our last missions trip. Our team just got back from Dominican Republic. Let's give them a hand. But man, wait till you see what Jesus did when he went after the one. I'm going to bring up Demita. Demita Davis, would you come on up? She's our missions director. Come on up, Demita. Amen. Once you have a seat, we're going to just kind of talk a little bit about what's been happening and share with the church what's happened on the mission trip. This has blown my mind because this is something that was something we planned, but things began to happen. I mean, literally, this was a challenge for us to do. But I want to bring you, I want to go back and ask you, what was the reason we went to Dominican Republic? Share that with the with our congregation.
Well, for those of you who were here back in March, we sponsored over 50 kids between the Dominican Republic and Kenya. And our desire was just to go visit these kids, spend some time with them, love on them, and just let them know how much God cares about each and every one of them. And what's so amazing about it is that we partnered with a company called One Child Matters. And so, you know, as we were preparing for this trip, there was a particular word that was just ringing in my head. There was something that you said on Sunday, October 2nd. And I'd like for you guys to play that clip just so we can kind of watch it together. And then you just said, the one matters.
Himself to suffer and to die and to be crucified and on the third day rise out of the grave, defeating death. Why? Because you are so important to him that death wouldn't keep him in the grave. It was about his blood. Because he came for you. He knew today would be here, and many of you, you wonder about your life and you wonder about the value of your life and where your life is headed. But can I say this? If there was no one else in the room but you, 2,000 years ago, Jesus saw no one in the room but you. And he still went to the cross. Because you know what? Your life matters to him. You have purpose. You have destiny. You have a work to do. Pastor Steve, himself to suffer and to die and to be crucified. Amen. Echo. Amen.
And so just that word was just ringing in my head all week, that of all things that God could have said to us, he said the one mattered. Wow. And so we went with the heart and the desire just to change one life. If that's all we did, if all the money we spent, if all the time we spent, all the effort we put in, would just change one life for God, it was worth it.
But it wasn't easy. It was a difficult time transitioning even to go. What was going on at the time?
Well, as you guys know, there was a hurricane, right? And so while it did cause us some concern, you also spoke another word that same sermon.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'd like for us to watch that clip as well. And you said, and this was ringing in my ear all week long, nature must bow down to purpose.
Wow. Okay. Impediment, and God had you in his mind. Nothing can stop you because nature must bow down to your purpose. You want to start a business? Start the business. You want to win souls? Open your mouth and bring somebody there. What God placed in your heart is on purpose. How else can Jesus walk on water? We think about him and we go, oh, that's Jesus. Jesus can do that. Well, can you just stop for a second and remember this? That man had a purpose. He looked out there and saw his disciples struggling on the water. And he says, you know what? Nature or hell itself ain't keeping me from my friends. And walked out on the water, and the water had to bow down. Why do you think he let that story come in the Bible? Because we're so afraid of the storm and the wind and the waves that we have forgotten that we are the apple of God's eye. We have forgotten that nature itself must bow down to us. We have forgotten that he made us king. Wow, so nature has to bow down. Now, what happened? You know, what took place?
So we as a team got together Wednesday night. We prayed about it. And, you know, I just woke up on Thursday and I had a talk with Matthew. Mm-hmm. And I said, dude, I don't care where you go. You just need to get out of my way.
All right.
God gave us the word. We're going to walk in it. Amen. And so that's what we decided to do. We had several flight cancellations ended up. We said, you know what? If there's a way and God makes it, we're going to go. So we ended up driving down to Miami to catch our flight.
Okay.
We headed out on Saturday. And we had testimonies even from the time that we got to the airport.
Okay. So tell me what happened when you hit the airport. I mean, because if it's a God trip, how many know that when God sends you on a journey or a purpose, that he's not just going to wait till you get there? You're starting doing things on the way. Hello, somebody, right? When Jesus was on his way to the cross, things were happening. When Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, things happened. So what happened when you got to the airport? What kind of testimonies did you run into?
Well, we actually, when we got there, our bags were a little too heavy for us to be able to take them, and we had a little help with that at the gate.
Okay. So what happened? How did that happen?
There was a guy who was just like, you know what, we'll take care of you.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, he was Hispanic at the time.
Yes.
And Ludi spoke Spanish very well.
Yes.
And so they communicated, and now you know how the airports are. You know, you're a couple pounds over on your bag, you got to pay some big bucks. But the guy, you told him what you were doing?
Yeah. We said, look, we're on a missions trip and we're taking gifts to these kids and we really want to be a blessing to them. And he said, okay, well, we'll take care of it.
And so
he was
just
like, shh, don't say anything. just give him. He saved us definitely a good amount of money in that. And then we're going through the airport and, you know, we got there super, super early for our flight. And we're sitting there by this payphone. And there's, the payphones aren't working. We've been there long enough to know they're not working. And there's this young lady who comes up and she's throwing money into the payphone. And because she kept putting money in, we thought it was working. Well, Ludi went to go charge her phone right next to this young lady. And the young lady finally turns to her, and she's shaking. I mean, she's visibly trembling, and I'm sitting, you know, probably from here to that first pew away from her, and I can see she's shaking. I mean,
now, guys, let me say this. How many know that God will always put you in a position to be able to help somebody? If you see it, that means you've got the solution inside of you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, so you're watching this young girl shake. I mean, so what's going on?
So this young girl had just come from England, was flying to Costa Rica, to meet her family. We're in Miami, and her family doesn't know she's coming. And so she's trying to get a hold of somebody. This is a brand new place. She's never lived there before. And the machine has just eaten all of her money. And so we were able to minister to her in that moment. I actually had an extra phone on me that I was able to give her. We were just able to be a blessing to her. And the girl tells us that her parents are definitely praying people, but she knows she needs to pray more. She needs to spend that time with God, and she knew this was a God moment for her.
Wow.
And her name was Faith.
Isn't that something? So she knew at that moment that God was intervening in her life. And he did it through frontier people. Let me say this to you. You have to be frontier people. You got to go places where nobody else will go. You got to go to new lands, and you've got to go to places where other people are afraid to step out, because only there do you see the miracles and the power of God evident in your life. You have to say, you know, God, wherever I am, you can use me. Can we say that right now? God, wherever I am, use me. All right, so the girl gets help, and but it doesn't. You guys get on the plane, and everything starts to happen. What was the mission trip designed to do?
So as I said, it was really just to go spend some time with the kids, love on them a little bit, hopefully meet their families, and then to really develop relationships with the One Child Matters team that's there, the permanent team that's in residence there.
Now, so just so those of you who may not understand what this is, One Child Matters is our mission that we've adopted as Frontier Church. And there are children in villages around the world that we adopt to help them grow up in that village, because they don't have either financial backing or they don't have parents or things in the home, and we support them. And our church has blown this mission away, where we, out of our own church, we should have only had like maybe 10 or 15 people sign up. We've had how many people sign up?
Over 50.
Over 50 people signed up to take care of children around the world. Amen. So this trip was going to see those kids and just introduce themselves on your behalf, those who sponsor children. And so that's what the 2 days were supposed to be about. What was it like?
It was amazing from start to finish. I think we have a picture of when the kids actually welcomed us. All the kids of the project were standing outside, and they held these big welcome signs for us, and they were singing when we came in, and it was just amazing for them to welcome us that way.
Wow, look at that. Look at that.
So this is actually Chris meeting his sponsored child.
Very happy to see you.
Está muy contento de
verte. You've been waiting for a long time.
Él está esperando mucho tiempo por
And so she said, after this moment, this is my father.
Wow. Now, see, guys, you don't understand. See, this child's father had disappeared out of the family's life. And all she knew is that she had a dad in the United States that loved her. And for the first time, she got a chance to see her her father from another mother, but the same father. Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And can you play that back again? I want to see that last part, because
very happy to see you.
Está muy contento de verte.
You've been waiting for a long time.
Él está esperando mucho tiempo por conocerte.
Yo le dije,
que tú eres bonita. Que tú eres bonita.
And watch this. Oh, isn't that awesome? Amazing. That's what it's all
that's
about.
It. That's it right there.
Wow. So that was the key, is that you guys were there with the children, and it was very important that you guys would meet and connect with those people. Now, what's important to me is you were there with the children, and you got a very big warm welcome from them. And so you brought some pictures back, right? Tell us about the pictures.
Yeah. So as I said, we have a picture of them welcoming us. We actually have some pictures of our vacation Bible school that we did with them.
Okay.
I actually have a picture of me teaching them some sign language. I just started taking that class.
All right.
So the kids picked it up. I mean, 20 minutes, maybe. They got the whole alphabet down.
Wow.
Right? Just eager to learn, eager to take in whatever we had to offer them. They danced for us. They sang for us while we were there.
Wow.
Just had an incredible time just loving on them. And we got to share with them two things that actually our kids here in our Sunday school are learning. And we taught them about when Nicodemus came to Jesus. And then we also taught them about the narrow way. Mm. And just kind of explaining to them on their level the things that we've been learning on Sunday mornings.
Wow. So you actually used the teaching out of our own kids department and took it over there and began to teach them about Nicodemus and Jesus, just straight out of our own lessons. So you got to see what life looked like as a child at the Child Development Center. I guess that's where that was. What does the life look like at home for these kids, like one child without a father? You know, I think that's where we saw in Chris's situation, the child didn't have a father, and Chris was able to really make a difference. But tell us about Corral's story. She was divorced. I think that's what the young child we were talking about.
Her mother, yeah. Okay. So her mother is divorced, so she doesn't really have a relationship with her father, and it's just her and her mother, and they were robbed, actually. Mm. And unfortunately, in the Dominican Republic, one of the most expensive things to buy is clothes.
Yes.
So they didn't take electronics, they took the clothing of the mother and this daughter when they robbed the house. So for us, it was devastating to hear about, but it was amazing for us to be able to bless them while we were there.
Now, you've got to see how God begins to move here. This is where the idea of one person matters. We had a group of, how many of you guys went? It was a total of four? Three or four of you guys went. And one of them was Ludi. And Ludi is a Spanish-speaking minister here at our church. And what was funny was, she was in contact with the lady out of Dominican Republic because they had said to her, hey, we would love for you to come over to Dominican Republic and minister in one of our services. We would really like you to come. And so the lady began to talk to Ludi about it and said, we really like you to do this particular service on this Sunday. And she says, well, that's interesting. On that Sunday, I actually will be in the Dominican Republic. And the lady said, well, what do you mean you're going to be there in Dominican Republic? Where are you going? She says, well, I'm a part of Frontier Church mission team, and we're coming to One Child Matters to actually give out gifts. And the lady pauses on the phone and she says, I'm the director of One Child Matters, and it's that service you're coming to. How many know God knows how to line it up? Amen? So she says, okay, well, you guys were just going to meet the kids and be invited to that same service, but it turns out the very speaker was in your group coming to Dominican Republic to preach that service. Isn't God amazing? And so it's a setup. God's setting this thing up. You could have backed out because of the hurricane. You could have been totally afraid. But I've already said this. You can either live by faith or you can live by fear. But you can't live by them both. That's called surrender. Hello, somebody. Let's try that again. You can either live by faith or you can live by fear. But you can't live by them both. That's called surrender. You can't surrender. So that had to be like mind-blowing when you guys found that
absolutely
out.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, so what happened next? You got to the center, you're on the campus of the church, and you invited the children to the worship service. What happened then?
So the service that we had was just for the sponsored kids and for their parents. So what was so incredible to me about that is that your sponsorship is what provided the opportunity for them to hear the gospel. it was only those people that were invited to be a part of that service. And because we had sponsored these kids, and I think probably too because we had given them gifts, we held the gifts to the end of the service.
Now let me make sure I got this right. Originally, you were supposed to give the gifts on the front end of service, but it just so happened that there was the decision made to do it on the back end of the service. This is very critical. This is how Jesus leaves the 99. So on the back end of the service, they decided to give out the gifts. That was very important because something took place in that service. After the preaching by Ludi, I think she talked about Peter walking on the water, right? We were singing today, Oceans, and it's a story about Peter walking on the water and not being afraid of the storm and the winds. And we had just,
And they danced to that song.
They danced to it?
They danced
my
to
God.
It in Spanish.
They had developed a song, a dance to that song. And we who were troubled by the hurricane decided, hey, we're not going to be afraid of those things. We're going to walk on the water and we're going to keep on going. And sure enough, she preached that message in that time, but something powerful happened at the end of that service. Okay? The gift giving was transitioned to the back end. What happened at the service?
So during the service, one of our sponsored kids, her mom came and gave her life to Jesus Christ.
Sit down. Y'all blew it. Okay, one more time. Sit down. Sit down. Hold on. Go back. So, something happened at the end of service. What happened?
The mother of one of our sponsored kids, she gave her life to Jesus.
Now, that's funny because this is why that was critical. In all of our packing and moving, something happened. If I'm not mistaken, out of all the bags that you had, only one bag was missing. They couldn't find the bag. The gift bag. And the gift bag belonged to the child of that mother.
Yes.
What would have happened if they gave the gifts out at the beginning service and the mother didn't have a bag for her child? It would have hindered the gospel of Jesus. God shifted it to the back end so that she heard the gospel first. In fact, it was Angelina, one of the Angelina, where, Angelina, where you at? Where's Angelina at? Oh, she's up there. Angelina, it was your child. The girl you sponsored is the child whose mom gave her life to Jesus Christ. Let's give God a great hand clap. One matters. Left the 99. And won that one soul. So tell me, after that happened, you guys had an opportunity to do something for that little girl. What happened next?
So we went shopping for that little girl, and because of that, we actually got to spend some more time with her and her mother. We got to go visit their home, got to pray with them, and got to minister to them. And I think we actually have a video clip of that moment.
Well, let's look at the child receiving the gifts from Frontier Church at one time.
Entonces no fuiste a la escuela hoy para estar esperando a nosotros, ¿eh?
Sí. She didn't go to school to wait for her gift.
Pues sí, tú ves, yo le dije, cómprale una sombrillita para que se cubra del sol, ¿verdad? Porque ese sol no es bueno aquí. Y también no solamente para el sol, cuando esté lloviendo, tú tienes tu sombrilla ahí. Tú sabes que ya no te va a mojar, tienes tu sombrillita ahí. Bueno, una, mire, tiene un pito también la sombrilla. Cualquier cosa.
Sí, no le quiero decir algo, un
patrocinador. ¿Tú me quieres mandar a decir algo al patrocinador?
Además,
and she loves her. And she would like to meet her.
¿Qué le quiere decir chiquita al patrocinador?
No, ya, que ella le quiere mucho y que venga pronto. Ya.
I want to pray for her.
Ella quiere orar por ti.
Y You're a very special little girl.
Tú eres una niña muy especial.
God loves you so much.
Y Dios te ama mucho. ¿Tú lo sabes? ¿Tú sabes eso? Si no, sé.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Padre, en el nombre de Jesús.
We thank you for this little girl.
Doy gracias por esta niña.
We thank you for her heart.
And I love that you can see her mother in the background of that.
That was her mother in the background that gave her life to Christ. Isn't that amazing? That, now listen, this is what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. Bring up my thought for today. Would you bring it up again? What is our takeaway for today? Everyone say it with me.
The one is worth it.
Could you imagine that God rearranged the entire schedule of this trip to go after not a crowd of people, one woman. Amen. He brings people from America. The gifts were great, the toys were great, but God had in mind, I've got to orchestrate the message, the people, everything centered, because there's one woman in this country that I have to leave all of my other children to go capture so that I could be a God to her and to her family. How many love Jesus for doing that? Wow. Wow. And you were able to pray for that child and to bless her life. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this with you. Let me say this to you. As we get ready to close, in your seats is a connection card. If you want to get connected with One Child Matters, literally I'll be going to Kenya later on in November to meet with the rest of our children that we have sponsored. But if you want to get connected with that and sponsor a child, just put that on a connection card and we'll follow up with you. But I want to say this to you here today, that maybe you're here today and you've wondered if your life really mattered. And you wondered if God would do or has a plan for your life that's great. This evidence today was to simply show to you that God will turn a storm. He will cause you to meet people from around the world and help them just to put you in position. He will orchestrate your calendar and people's calendar around the world to coordinate so that they could get to you. He will set up a meeting with children involved so that you have to leave your house and hear the gospel. And all of that to prove that it matters to the one. I want to say to you, this isn't just a story about a woman that mattered to Jesus. It was evidence that you matter to him too. That he will go throughout all the world to seek and to save those who are lost. The Great Commission tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of every nation, teaching them to obey all that I have taught you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's after you. Would you please stand at this moment?